You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Good morning to you all. Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. Good morning to the notorious ESQ.
Good morning.
Wearing his U of A shirt on Wildcat Tuesday.
It is rivalry week.
Look at you. You going to wear another one, a different one tomorrow too?
That is highly likely.
Nice. Love it. Good morning to Barney Brenner.
Good morning.
He's sitting in for the first couple hours with me. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
You brought Farley the dog today, who's awesome.
Off the charts awesome.
The other Farley, Steve, is on tomorrow, so it's a double Farley.
Oh, that's too funny.
Farley weekend here at the Wake Up Tucson show. Farley probably being the most intelligent creature in on this side of the glass right now. So,
and then you have the picture I sent of the three Farleys taken the day after we adopted this guy.
Who's the third Farley?
The cartoon.
Oh,
the cartoon. No, Farley.
Okay, sitting there going, oh my God, we're naming more things Farley in
Little
this town.
Little Farley is on Steve Farley's lap, and Steve is holding this full-page image of the cartoon dog.
Very nice. So glad to have you and the other Mr. Farley here today. So if you have any questions or comments about this show, 790-2040 is the phone number. If you have a complaints, go to complaints@bustosmedia.com. We got lots of stuff to cover today. Me and Barney for the first couple hours, and then Ted Maxwell and I in the third hour, Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Tomorrow, Bruce Ash is sitting in with me, and then we have Schweikert, Biggs, Dan Shearer tomorrow. So Schweikert wanted to move. He didn't want to miss the Wakeys, so he moved off of. Of course, we're not going to be here Thanksgiving. So
and Shearer twice in 1 week.
That's true.
Nice.
So love Dan Shearer. So lots of stuff to cover today. Barney, one of my favorite stories so far. Well, there's, as we know, the last 10 and a half months has been a bizarre, weird, outer limits type of experience for America. And so one of my favorite one is NBC. Had their consumer correspondent talking about, because they were talking about the expensive Thanksgiving this year.
just leave out the turkey.
So this is an actual real thing. This lady, Vicky Nguyen, advised Americans the cost of turkey, traditionally the most important food on the table, by more than 20% since last November due to inflation and the supply chain crisis. She actually said, perhaps you should forego the turkey on Thanksgiving.
How about if we forego her from here on out? I think that'd be a better choice.
This is what the Kool-Aid drinkers of the Democrat Party, what to a point does it start just becoming, well, this is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Become like we're just in a full propaganda mode at this point.
Yes, Chris, you have one fabulous quote as you came out with a couple of months ago, you know, and they are throwing things at us one after the other.
Right.
And you came out with the line, now we're just screwing with you. And they are,
like.
You know, and it's true. You know, I often go back to my dear departed defector buddy, Yuri Bezmenov. But he laid all this out in seminars almost 40 years ago. And if you haven't seen him, you know, there's two videos that are about an hour long. They are fascinating study because this guy was assigned to undermine the country of India as a KGB guy. So he lays out how they brainwash entire countries. And they've done such a good job with us that they're running out of stuff. So they're starting to poke us with little stuff just to mess with us.
So this lady, this is the part I love, is so if you tell your friends who you're already invited, we're not doing turkey this year. maybe they will disinvite themselves and you will have to spend less money on feeding your dumb friends because you said, you know, we're not doing turkey.
What a wonderful way to be thankful. Just ditch all your good buds.
I mean, and you know why what? Not?
And here's something that just hit me. There's a silly old saying, you know, came out of a Groucho Marx movie, but who are you going to believe? Me or your own eyes?
Right.
You know, and he's, you know, this gal catches him in bed, right? Well, turkey, I don't know about the other stores, but you can go to Fry's and get a great turkey for 79 cents a pound.
Right.
Hello?
I was thinking about that. It's true.
How much of a problem is that?
Now, if you really want to go for that beautiful butter ball with all the, you know, injected butter chemicals in it, that's 99 cents
exactly.
A pound.
But that's the frozen one, and you can get fresh for $1.98.
Yeah, I mean... Now, I can do a turkey talk. So now, crunch time's coming on defrosting your turkey, of course. So, of course, Alton Brown has said in the past, has taught us that buying a fresh turkey is always a little bit of a risky gambit. And he likes frozen better because at least they're flash frozen at the source and you defrost it as you need to properly, right? He says fresh... because it moves around from refrigerator to there to here. Then they put it in an open air refrigerator up, right? Where it's not really a sealed refrigerator, right? You have your temperature of your turkey fluctuates too much. And sometimes it can affect the quality of what, even though you're paying more for something that maybe not be better in the end. But it was an old thing. I remember my dad in the old days, yeah, you got to get a fresh turkey kind of thing. But in the end, I think... you know,
if you got it from hunting yourself, different story.
That's always a different story. So back to screwing with you, right? So Biden is, this is what I love this, right? Again, this is about, they're just this veil, this illusion they're throwing at you of what's going on here in this government. So he talked about whatever yesterday at some, is it really a press conference if he just talks in front of reporters? If they can't ask questions, is it really a press conference?
Because he lets them ask questions until they get to a semi-tough one. Oh, then we got to clear the room. There's video of this.
Well, the one that I saw yesterday is they're playing them off like the Academy Awards with music. So all of a sudden, he's like, you could tell the handlers are watching to see if they're getting to that point, right? And then all of a sudden now, instead of... Now, don't get me wrong, they played some really... Now, Higgins would have hated this, right? They're playing some really nice jazz, but they literally played Biden off yesterday with jazz music. He's like, well, you know... And then all of a sudden, it's like... And then they're like, all right, Mr. President. And they just roll his rear end off. And
they figure by swinging the beat a little bit, they can get him to loosen up that gait, the stiff gait that the doctors reported on.
And it's like you bringing on the song. Well, we got to go to break now. See ya.
There's been a couple, you know, it's funny with Matt. Matt, as a new radio guy, is very sensitive to the proprieties of radio, right? Very, yeah, which I love. He's a classy young man.
He even... what's the word for it? He even zapped me.
That's true.
So sensitive to every word that's going
on. That's good. Someone's got to keep it between the rails.
Well, it was a pretty innocent, but okay.
Who, you know, if you told me 12 years ago that DeSimone has, first of all, never been dumped ever in the history of the show, which is still true, right? I'm the cleanest mouth on the damn show, which is just...
Yeah, damn it.
Right, That Barney Brenner would have been dumped button before me, I would have said, you're out of town. You're crazy. So, hey, when we come back, I want to talk about that mass sickness reported at the hotel, because there's a little bit of an extra research the reporter needs to do. And it might, as Jesse Ventura would say, it's all coming together, McMahon. So it's Barney Brenner, Christy Simone, and you, 790-2040. Wake up, Tucson. Barney Brenner, Christopher D. Simone, Ted Maxwell, and I in the third hour. Definitely going to get into some redistricting stuff and other things with Ted. 790-2040 is the phone number. So I just real quick, Barney and Matt and beloved listeners, So Matt, you know, we have this news affiliation with KOLD, right? And this is a staff report. So so if it's a staff report, we're regurgitating a release, which is usually better than Bud Foster. So first responders are at a scene of a hotel in downtown Tucson after numerous people reported getting sick there. So it says Tucson police and firefighters were at a hotel, 1300 North Stone. An employee told a reporter that the Pima County Health Department had closed the lobby. Authorities say they don't know how many people have been hospitalized or what's the cause of the mass sickness. This is a developing story. So the thing I was trying to figure out, it's a Red Roof Inn, right?
Yes.
Is this the Red Roof Inn that the taxpayers are paying for all the illegal immigrants?
It's at 1300 North Stone Avenue.
Ooh.
That is a great point.
Matt's jaw and mine dropped at the same time.
That's,
great point.
So I got to figure out.
Look at the big brain on Chris.
You know, it's like, again, John Nash, A Beautiful Mind, right? You just see all those little digits flying around. And then when you've been doing it long enough, you kind of go, you do the Scooby-Doo. So that's something we got to look into before it's all over is the one that has the mass sickness. Is this the one where the county has been using their taxpayer dollars to drive these people around, house them, all of this other stuff?
Our taxpayer dollars.
Correct.
Those dogs, they don't have two nickels to rub together.
You are correct. So we got that. As we like to say, we got that going for us, as we like to say. So we'll have to, I think that's the one. The downtown university one, the Red Roof Inn. $61 tonight if you want to stay there with an outdoor pool and a hot tub.
I kind of think you're onto something there, Mr. DeSimone.
So I gotta go back and look at the during the – well, it's more important for me to make my playlist to support Matt today. After I make my playlist, then I'll look to see if I can find the old – a couple of people have sent me the documents from the Pima County board meeting that says what hotel – I know it's a Red Roof Inn. So I don't know if it's this one or not, but it would be, as Leonard Nimoy would say, fascinating.
Mr. DeSimone, for today, you get the first one.
Oh, wow. Look
nice.
At that.
DeSimone, in the last 3 minutes, has done more investigative reporting than Bud Foster in this millennium.
You connect the dots. That's all that happens. So, so we know that the Arizona Red Star is a shell of its former self, okay? In more ways than one, right? Printing-wise, reporting-wise, editorially bankrupt, literally can't... They don't have people even proofreading anymore. This Sam Kamak guy is cranking out reams and reams of stories that somehow no one wants to edit for the poor guy. I mean, even the spell checker that they got for him isn't working. That's how hard times are at the Arizona Daily Star, right? Then you take poor Timmy's stories and you put them behind a paywall that, you know, I'm sure he sits there, in, you know, trapped in his house wondering, is anyone reading this stuff anymore, right? Why won't Chris DeSimone be friends with me on Facebook? You know, if you're worrying about that, Tim, get a life. Now, but one of my journalism folks in the state sent me this story. Alden Global Capital mounts takeover bid for Lee Enterprises. And they are the hedge fund with the reputation for slashing staff in newsrooms, other departments, and selling off real estate at outlets it owns.
And they're going to have to do a lot of slashing, spending $141 million.
On the actual total buy, $141?
I think so.
So it would... 75 newspapers and several hundred other outlets. Offer of $24 a share represents a 30% premium on their closing stock price on Friday. Alden required Tribune Publishing this month that bought the that gave them the Chicago Tribune and the Baltimore Sun, Orlando Sentinel. These are the guys that took over the Denver Post and groups in Northern and Southern California. So anyway, is there anything left to cut at the Arizona Daily Star? That's
a bunch of crap, I'll tell you that. Like most of the reporting and writing, you know, wouldn't it be fabulous if there are a couple of people at the head of Alden that have a conservative bone in their body? Because I've often thought if, you know, years and years I've brought this up, but a local consortium taking over the Star during a buyout, you could pressure it by cutting off advertising for a while. But Jim Click himself told me, no, that doesn't work because somebody always breaks the blockade and they go in and advertise. But if it was owned locally, first, your advertising revenue would largely come back to you. And then you could steer the thing in a decent direction. And I bet you we could triple readership and subscribership at the Star if you turn it into a half-decent paper.
I believe that the... well, we know that the editorial pages have big problems.
It's all editorial pages.
Right. Well, in a way, right? And then, again, it's always about what you focus on, right, in relation to the editorial focus of what's going on the hard news pages. And that's always going to be one of their problems is, you know, the blind spot, right? And so when you're a newspaper with a blind spot
and an agenda,
this is where we're at. So let's go to Matthew. It's a different one is what you're telling me.
Correct.
Okay, so it's the Red Roof Inn at the airport is the one they're using for.
Correct.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we firmed that up. So, because that would just be, that'd be a Pima County nightmare, right? If the one they were taking all the migrants to has become some sort of sickness hotbed.
Well, maybe they're renting a couple of rooms at the other one. You never know.
Well, that's just bad supposition at that point, because we could say that about anything, Barney.
Yeah.
So when we come back, Barney and I, again, if you have any comments or concerns, 790-2040. I want to talk about the county is going to decide whether to sue the city over water rates. We'll talk to Barney about that. He's a guy who's a home. He's, you know, homeowner. Has built a home or two in his day. We'll talk to him about that.
Interesting sub-bullet in that memo. We can, when it comes up, I will highlight it for you.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. So we got Barney Brenner, Christy Simone, Matthew ESQ. What's my clock looking like, my friend? I'm still at 28. There it is, 29. I knew I was getting there. I knew the force was telling me that the bottom of the hour news was coming up. So Chris, Barney, and Matt, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The Pima County Board of Soups today is going to decide what they think they're going to do with the city of Tucson bumping rates on unincorporated county residents, the differential water rates. People in the county will pay 10 to 40% more than city customers depending on their water use. Barney Brenner, initial reaction to this whole debacle with differential water rates.
It's a ploy to get, as everything else in government, local or national, to get into your pocket a little deeper. Great excuse.
Do you feel as though the I guess the question is, with the dynamics of the current board the way it is, right, where it seems that you have Steve Christie, right, and we like Steve and what he's trying
to
get.
We love him,
getting
but he's a voice
there
in the wilderness, right? There.
Now, this is the interesting thing. Then you got Bronson, your favorite, okay, but
who has actually done a thing or two that we approve of.
Correct, right? Now, all of a sudden, she's like the really reasonable one of the D's, okay? It's all relative, all right? Then I got Rex Scott, who is having nightmares about becoming a one-term Pima County Board of Supervisors, okay? And he is constantly threading the needle, okay? And he does understand what District 1 is. He does understand that he got through by the skin of his teeth, all right, against a guy who had basically spent no money in the general. That's how weak his win is. Steve Spain, literally the day after the primary, had $53 in his pocket, right? After going through a four-person primary, then we get to the general, and Rex, I think he racked up six figures, right? Even with his six-figure rack-up of money, right, against Steve Spain's, you know, in the end, I think he probably had several thousand dollars.
I think less than 20 total.
Right, is the idea that he only won by, what, 300 votes? Okay.
It was super thin, and you'll never convince me with Dominion's ownership of the hardware and software and firmware, despite what the election, Pima County Elections Department will tell you, our voting equipment is squarely under the thumb of Dominion Voting Systems.
Well, and then take what Allie was talking about last week with those people that were getting federal-only ballots that shouldn't have gotten federal-only ballots, right?
You got a few hundred votes there. Well, that was, of course, East Side, so it doesn't affect District 1. But God knows the shenanigans that went on November 2020.
So then you got Rex, who's a weak, you know, kind of in the middle, and then you got the two nutballs. Okay.
What I want to see, you know, to really give Bronson any credit for anything, you're talking about threading the needle.
Sorry, let me identify them as humans. I apologize. Adelita Nutball and Matt Nutball. Sorry.
But
I acknowledge your personhood.
But your descriptors are accurate. What I want to see is Bronson thread the needle where she's in a majority vote with Christie and Scott against the two goofies.
Well,
then we can say she made the difference, because a lot of this is choreographed. They do it in Congress all the time. They will let some of their nutballs vote moderately reasonably because they don't need their vote.
So with this whole thing, it sounds like Rex is against, he has to be, because if he comes out somehow for this, especially, you know, it'll just, the District 1 voters will just go insane on him.
He's got lots of foothills.
So according to Jan Lesher and her memo to the crew. Now, the other thing that's interesting is we're having this discussion now, even though the water rates kick in December 1st. Okay, so better late than never, I guess. Okay. So according to Janie's memo here, the city, through their consultant, has failed to demonstrate an increased cost to providing service to unincorporated county, since they only selected factors in the analysis that support their case and ignore others that do not.
Cherry picking, can you say?
I love that Jan Lesher in the memo says that the city cherry-picked factors in their report that try to support the idea that it's more expensive to deliver water to the unincorporated, even though it's not really true.
Well, you can forgive them for that. When you're making a case, lawyers do this all the time.
The cost of service study also incorrectly allocates 100% of a utility tax to inside city customers, stating it's only assessed to people living with customers within the city limits. However, the city tax does appear on the bill of the unincorporated people also.
Well, you got to step over the line from cherry picking there.
Let's see what else we got here. Let's see. So, in the end, one of the first things that they say they can do is sue the city of Tucson on its own behalf.
I love it. You know, the county was notorious for going head-to-head with the state on issues where basically the county, by law, by constitution, is simply an arm or a child of the state. This is like a minor child just throwing a tantrum, trying to tell their parents or trying to sue their parents. But the kicker in both cases, guess who gets to pay the bill on both sides of the political or legal fight?
Taxpayers.
Bingo.
Now, isn't this in the end, right? This is, I mean, I'm gonna have to put on the old pessimist hat again. This is just literally, this is the city of Tucson saying there are a lot of fat cats, right? I'm sure a few of them are business owners that engage in wage theft. Okay. The fat cats in the foothills and other areas on the unincorporated are just not paying their fair share to pay for things in the just in general. All right, this isn't a water thing, right? It's the idea that someone got into their skull and said the fat cats, we can grab a bunch of money from the fat cats. It's not like they can go someplace else.
This is true. You can't poke your own well,
right? And someone just said, look, these foothill people are paying at similar rates to the average
poor, downtrodden,
correct,
city dweller,
right? And so then but again, what they've learned from the county, right? It's like the marijuana ad where the guy finds the cigar box full of marijuana and yells at his son, "Where did you learn how to do this?" And he said, "I learned it by watching you, Dad." Right? This is the same thing, right? So what happens is that when the county, look, the county uses wastewater like a hammer, and they've been overcharging people on wastewater for years. Okay. They really are following the county. Okay.
I can take you back to 99 on wastewater.
Do it.
We got ripped off for $30 million because wastewater was known as an enterprise fund, and it was socking away money.
Right.
They were reasonably well run, and they were in a $30 million surplus. So magically, in the aforementioned Ms. Bronson's first term on the board, they, in two withdrawals...
She hasn't been around that long. I'm just kidding.
You right. Constantly refer to, you know, when Star Wars was a pop. But on June 30th, 1999... they made two withdrawals of $30 million each from the enterprise fund that was wastewater to dump into the coffers of the county. And then within the next couple of years, Bronson lyingly said, "Oh, we paid that all back." Never happened. But they've been milking wastewater for at least 22 years.
Now the other question I have for you is, it was early, it was probably 10 years ago or so, I remember it was early days of the show where the county all of a sudden had to make, out of nowhere, they were, "Oh, the government's forcing us to make all of these improvements," right? Remember? And then all of a sudden, everyone's wastewater got really, really expensive, right? Now, as I'm sitting there going, man, if you took this, how much money was it that they paid out of the enterprise fund?
They pulled $30 million in two installments.
All right. So if they took the $30 million, and kind of like started building a fund to keep upgrading the to keep up with the what the feds wanted,
maybe, might have paved roads by now.
Well, or we would have kept up on the maintenance over time instead of having this, and it gave Chuck that excuse to say, "Well, I'm sorry, you know, the old feds with their inconsiderate EPA stuff, you know, are forcing us to do this. So now, of course, it's going to cost you more to flush your toilet than drink water at your house," right?
They've got you coming and going.
They do. And again, the other thing they learned from the county, right, is because there was going to be a hit back a little bit saying, well, there's people who live in unincorporated county, right, who may not be able to afford this bump in their Tucson water rates. But, of course, what the county did is what we learned is you overcharge everybody else a little bit more, and then you create that fund of money that they can apply for a grant or something for everyone else to pay your water.
So basically, government is offering to help solve a problem that they created in the first place.
I mean, isn't it the...
It's their MO.
Right? I mean, isn't this the vicious cycle of bad governance? Right, I mean, this is the county's all about the vicious cycle. right? They specialize in the vicious cycle. Look at the roads, right? Again, one of Huckleberry's legacies. Hey, again, I hope you feel better, Chuck. One of Huckleberry's legacies, bad legacies, is he created a mindset that you don't pay for the basics of government, right? And then you go squeeze the taxpayer for more money later, saying, oh, the road, you know, you want bad roads? And this legacy of bad of government strategy is part of why we're where we're at, a big part. So
exactly right.
I mean, think about it. We've taken the basics and put them at the end of the list.
Bingo. Every time they want a bond election, they threaten us with what? Up, you won't have sheriffs, you won't have parks, you won't have libraries.
Think about this. The city of Tucson had to pass an extra a proposition with the sales tax and to pay for police cars. Right? Remember, that was the whole thing, because they were sending out postcards that says, oh, this police officer's car just broke down on his way to save your life. Let's make sure you give us more money so we can do that. So, all right, Christy, Simone, Barney, Brenner, and you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We are moving on. We'll get to some holidays before it's all over. I'm sure Matt's got a huge list of holidays for today. Oh, that's tomorrow.
Big, beautiful list. The best list.
Oh, I thought you were doing the Ruben Gallego hump day. It's Taco Tuesday. Go see our friend Juan Almanza at El Taco Rustico. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Matt's ready with the hamster wheel, and we're going to get the signal back up in about
10 minutes, baby.
10 minutes.
That hamster, we're pumping it full of coffee.
little shot of filthy pirate in the old hamster wheel today. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. So this is an interesting thing. Sky Harbor concession workers decided to, on a 97% yes vote, to strike this week. So
that'll disrupt the country.
Now, it's just the concession workers. It's not anyone that has to deal with an actual flight.
Okay.
So, and of course, the HMS host company that hires all these people, was very disappointed in the week that they chose to do that. But I guess if you're the union people, this was the perfect week to to do it. So if you have loved ones, or you're flying through Sky Harbor and you're, before you get to the, well, you say, I'll just grab a blank.
Pack a lunch.
Pack a lunch. Get it before you get to the airport, because it looks like a bunch, unless they do some serious quick scab hiring, you're not getting anything to eat at the old
food
Sky
service
Harbor.
I don't know what a good idea to try to do some hires. Better off telling them to brown bag it.
And then today's holidays today, first and foremost, it's National Espresso Day. It's National Eat a Cranberry Day. Barney, let's pick on the big brain on Barney.
Oh, you're going to hit me with side dishes?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Side dishes. You're insane. It's Fibonacci Day. The Fibonacci sequence. What's the Fibonacci sequence?
Oh, yes. I think that's a sequence of numbers where you get a series of, you add the previous number to it, and like it goes 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34. Is that it?
You know something?
What?
You nailed it.
Wow.
You nailed it.
Man,
So you did. I'm looking through it. It's 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34,
34.
55.
Bingo.
89.
I dug deep for that one.
This is
wow. You know what, Chris? It is the job of guests on the show to make the host look good, but you just turned the tables.
No. That was that. I'm very impressed by your Fibonacci. So I knew there was a good shot you were going to nail it. So, and then of course today is Doctor Who Day. of course, a beloved British sci-fi show, global phenomenon. Now it's been around at least 50 years, and it always had this ingenious plot device that the Doctor never really dies. He just regenerates into somebody else. So when they want a new actor, they come up with some sort of incident that the, quote, Doctor regenerates and they replace. It's the same character supposedly throughout the 50 years, but it's the idea that it's someone with it, and he regenerates to a different body. And currently the Doctor is a female, which is fine by me. And it's been it's one of my favorite shows over the years. But the 1980s with Tom Baker is always going to be my favorite. This is kind of the one you grew up with. My cousin Jimmy in New York was a huge Doctor Who fan in the 80s. So it's Doctor Who Day. So I assume it's the premiere of that first episode they ever did. So, hey, Barney, what's going on? Before we go to break, what's going on with Thanksgiving with the Brenners this year?
Oh, well, you know our good friend Franny.
Yeah, beloved Franny.
Oh, she's a little doll. Well, she lives out in Picture Rocks. And Sharon and I, thank goodness, we just went through the miserable China virus. I have had 4 negative tests in a row. Sharon's had 2. We're good to go. You know, we're 4 weeks post first symptom, and even the CDC is down to 10 days non-contagious. But we're going to go over to our good friend Franny's for Thanksgiving.
That's awesome.
It is great.
And what's your favorite side dishes, even though
all of them.
What are you running for office?
No, you know what? They brought up, as a closer, you can call it a side dish, pumpkin pie always kills it for me.
Well, like we said, some of these people with their sweet potatoes who put all the stuff on it anyway, I'm like, just eat the pumpkin pie before
yes,
you get there.
I don't even put the whipped cream on.
Let's stop screwing around. Just
I might have a glass of milk on the side and pumpkin pie.
And it does make a difference, right? So, you know, frozen's frozen, right? If you do a frozen pie, that's whatever. To me, then you can make it with, you know, you make it homemade with the pumpkin puree. That's good. If you buy the sugar pie pumpkins at the actual store and roast those, like you would roast a butternut squash, and then scrape that pulp out to use instead of the pumpkin puree, that'll take your pumpkin pie to a whole other level of love. That's where the real, and try to make a real crust, for God's sakes. There's a Martha Stewart. It's a little Frenchy thing called pâté brisé. You can find it online. It has 3 ingredients. It's salt, butter, and flour, right? Just go make that for your crust, and you'll be a happy camper. So
here is a culinary graduate.
We're getting there. Oh, there he is. The curse is here. My gosh. What a thrill to have the curse here today. So one of our special secret guests who's not allowed to be identified, the curse, is here to celebrate Thanksgiving at Wake Up Tucson. So you're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christy Simone, Barney Brenner, and you, Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership Council in the third hour. Wake up.